Well, it's a joy, privilege, and honor to be here. I really I told Brother Benny a while ago, that I'm still rejoicing in the message last night. I encourage you to get that CD, tape, whatever, and listen to it and allow it to touch your heart as God would have it to do. And have many memories of Brother Richardson, Brother Downs, and these young men of past day. I'm thankful for those young men that are pastoring today. And it's just good to be in the house of the living God. It really is. I don't know of a better place outside, and I ain't been to heaven yet. But I'm on my way. And until I get there, there's a work to be done. And I want you to take your Bible this morning, and I want you to turn with me to Gospel John this morning, chapter 4. Bring you the thought that God has laid upon my heart. We have a camp meeting every year in June, and I'm going to leave some flyers out there and pick one up. If you could come, we'd be glad to have you. We try to preach as many preachers we can. This year we'll have it for 3.5 days. We've had it 4 days, 3.5 days, and go back to 3 days, but we're going back this year to 3.5 days, and it's in June, the first few days of June. We'll put you preachers up in the motel, take care of you the best we can, feed you a couple meals a day, nice motel to stay in. All right, in Gospel John chapter 4, I want you to look down with me, starting with verse number 33. Gospel John chapter 4. The Bible said in verse 33, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Amen. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." I want you to hold that place and run with me for just a second. Run with me to Psalms 126. I'll wait for you. Psalms 126. But I want to go back to Gospel John chapter 4 for my thought this morning. Very familiar scripture that ought to be buried in our hearts. In Psalms 126, the Bible said in verse number 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy," Brother Benny. "And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." My eternal Father, I ask now that you might just hedge us in, that the Holy Spirit of God might have control of our hearts and minds, that we might focus upon the scriptures this morning and what you'd have us to hear. Help our ears to be open this morning to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray this morning that the Lord Jesus might be lifted up. He will be lifted up when he has our interest at heart. I pray that the Father might be glorified this morning. But where I stand this morning, dear Lord, a very sacred, holy place, I pray, dear Lord, that you might clear my mind. And Father, that you might allow me this morning to say just what saith the Lord. And dear Lord, I pray the dirty, filthy devil might be bound. I plead the blood of Jesus around this pulpit where I stand. And I pray that your people this morning in the congregation might be fastened on the scriptures. I pray, dear Lord, that they'll not let nothing hinder them this morning. But the message, dear Lord, last night set the direction for today, I believe, what's going to come forth. But I pray today in all that we attempt to do, that our interest of heart this morning might to glorify him. And I pray for the salvation of lost souls. And I pray that we'll be the true light of the world to the people, because we are the salt of the earth. And I pray in Jesus' name that you might get glory and honor this morning. Lord, you've never failed me one time. And Father, you've never broken a promise to me. And you told me, dear Lord, if I would just be obedient, that you would do the rest. So you give the increase today from the messages that will be unveiled before your people today. And we'll praise you and glorify your name in all that transpires. And bless Brother Richardson. Guide his mind today for the men of God to stand and unveil the word of God. And I pray today that Jesus will be uplifted. In Jesus' holy, righteous name we pray this very morning. I want you to look back with me in Gospel John chapter 4 at one verse, verse number 35. The Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I want to talk to you this morning on this thought: why fields are so white. Why fields are so white. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. I know that you men of God this morning know these scriptures. You've preached from them many a time, but still I believe that we are to examine ourselves, and we might not allow these scriptures to leave us, and we might still continue to give our people a word of encouragement and hope. But I want you to look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. The Bible said, "But when he saw," Jesus saw the multitudes, "he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send for laborers unto the harvest." My question is, why are the fields so white? Or years ago, Brother Mays Jackson made these statements. He said, "When there's no sowing, there will be no reaping." He also said, "When there's no reaping, there will be no weeping, and there will be no rejoicing." It's God's desire that God's children rejoice. Amen. And we're living in such an hour that people have truly forgot where God's brought them from. I'm a preacher's son. I said last night I've been saved 60 years. I was raised and reared in the Christian home of a dedicated pastor, my dad. My dad taught me the truth of God's word. And he told me that there would come a time and place in my life that Jesus would visit me through the Holy Spirit of God. I was a 12-year-old boy one Monday night in revival. An old-fashioned hellfire preacher was preaching the unsearchable riches of God's word. And the word of God fell on me. And I went home Monday night from that service under Holy Ghost conviction. And I fought it all day on Tuesday. You didn't ask the question when I was a boy growing up whether you went to church or not when the doors were open, because I was commanded to go. I really was. I was commanded to go, and I didn't ask questions. Went back on Tuesday night, and then that old preacher got up and preached. And he preached about the saving grace of God. And that night, the Holy Ghost of God visited me again. I was fortunate. I believe that God is commanded to give every person one time a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really was without excuse as a 12-year-old boy. But Wednesday night, I went back. And that old-time preacher just kept on, plowing. Kept on preaching on Jesus. And I thought to myself, as a preacher's son, I don't know of anything else that preacher can preach about but Jesus. But what is there to preach about but Jesus? Because Jesus, the heartbeat of the Son of God, the heartbeat of all services and camp meetings and Bible conferences, are what ought to be the heartbeat of the precious Son of God that left heaven and come to a sinful world and willing to give his life on an old rugged cross and forgive us of our dirty, filthy sins. But thanks be to God, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the whole world. But Wednesday night, I rebelled to the Holy Spirit of God. But I went back. I went Thursday morning to school. Got home school. Mama said, "Larry, you know, we got to hurry up now. We got to go to church tonight." I said, "Mother, I'm sick." And I was sin sick. I was spiritually sick. And I needed a refuge for my soul. I needed the great physician once again to come by and talk to me and encourage my hell-bound, helpless soul. But anyway, they went to church. They took me to grandmother's. And I walked the floor that night under Holy Ghost conviction. I'm telling you, I know something about the Holy Ghost of God conviction. I mean, it fell on me. I couldn't get away from it. I was most miserable. And you already know what I'm talking about. This very morning, if you've ever been visited by the mighty sheriff of heaven, the Holy Spirit of God, and it ought to make a Nazarene, if it'll make a Nazarene shout, it ought to make us shout that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in so doing, that Thursday night when they picked me up, I said to my dad when we got out of that old Buick car, I said, "Dad, I need to talk to you." Went into my bedroom and he opened up the precious living word of God and spoke to my heart. And he said, "Son, I can't save you. I'm not the Savior. But I can tell you how you can get acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ." And that night I bowed my head and I confessed before a holy God that I was a hell-bound young man sinner going to devil's hell. And that night I got born of the Spirit of God. At night I received the second birth. I heard B.R. Lakin say years ago down at Camp Zion, he said, "I don't ask people if they've been born again or if you're saved.
I asked them, have you ever received the second birth? That's what makes all the difference in the world. We were all born physically, but we must be born of the Spirit of the living God. So I ask you the question this very morning, why is the labors few? I believe one of the reasons why the labors are few, there is no preparation of heart in the heart of so professing children of God. I don't have a profession, I have a possession. I've been born, my sins have been covered, my sins have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe we're living in a sad day. We're living in a terrible day. We're living in a wicked day. We're living in an ugly day. I tell you what, I'm no stranger to so-called Christianity today in this walk of life among so many. I look out now 40 years, the church that Brother Richardson started there at Fired Eland, Kentucky, New Testament Baptist Church. And I've seen things in those 40 years, and I'm seeing today a lack of hunger. I see a lack of thirst. And many a time driving down the road, I wonder what's wrong. But I'll tell you what, I have a hard enough time to keep myself disciplined. Amen. In the Holy Spirit of God. There was two preachers, many preachers, because that's all my daddy ever let me see. And they come to the house, and us young, my two brothers and me and my sister would sit on the floor, and those men of God would preach in the house as they had conversation about souls being saved and the work of God. And I have, in my lifetime, I have met two godly men, many godly men, many godly men in this place. But two of them I knew. And two of those men, Brother J. Harold Smith and Brother Percy Ray, I met them personally. I had lunch with them, both of those men. And I talked to those men one-on-one. And both of those men said, there will never be the revival in the last day until there's a preparation of heart. Amen. In the children of God. Amen. People today go into the house of God, they've rubbed shoulders with the world all week, and they've heard all kind of filthy garbage out of the cesspools of hell come out of people's mouths, and they have no interest in the things of God. I was taught when I went to church as a boy growing up, the preacher didn't have to preach on being faithful to the house of God. And people going out, we used to go out on Saturdays. I was a young boy, go out with the men on Saturdays. We'd have 50 men that would go out and comb the streets there in Wycliffe, Kentucky as a boy. And you know what? You could see the people come to church on Sunday morning with excitement in their souls. But you know, down through the years, as I think about what Brother Smith said and what Brother Percy Ray said there will never be a revival until people depend more upon the closet with God than the pleasures of the world. And we're living in such an hour, it takes a Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God has been put on the back burner in the hearts of God's people. The fields are white unto harvest. But what's the problem? The labors are few. Why are labors few? There is, Brother Nossinger, there is not people killing themselves. And I know people more concerned about making a living than learning how to live. Preacher said the other day, over 30,000 promises in the Word of God, and they're for us. And God is able. And God can move. I believe God can touch Brother Richardson's daughter, that she'll not even have to have a transplant. If God's people were to get in a closet. That Brother Roark here, I heard about him. He don't even really know me. But when I came here one time and he come down with cancer, I've made that a matter of prayer to pray for him, for Brother Benny Hatfield, down through the years, that God would touch them and raise them up, that they might be a witness testimony of the saving grace of God. God's not limited. God is able. But I heard Harold Seitler years ago down at Pontotoc, Mississippi, at Hurricane Baptist Church, make the statement, there's nothing too hard for God. There's no promise that he can't fulfill. There's no prayer he can't solve. There's no question that don't have no answer, because God has the answer. Amen. But I ask you the question this morning. We read the scriptures. We know what's written in God's precious living book. But the question is, have we become like other people that we don't see? I believe all my heart, unless we visualize, unless we agonize, there'll never be an evangelistic heart. And we're living in such an hour. And I believe that God just wants us to be loyal to him. God wants our best. But I still encourage my song leader that I have at church, an old North Carolina boy that came our way 17 years ago as a nurse there in a sad place, Asheville, North Carolina, with the sodomites. And I encourage him all the time. Our songs, I grew up on the Broadman hymn, the old green song book. And I'm going to tell you, we sung the songs about the blood. And one of those songs was sung this morning. I will sing the wonderful story. And the old rugged cross. I knew the pages to those old songs because I had them memorized in my mind and heart when we all get to heaven. But we're living in such an hour, Brother Benny, that there's no preparation of heart. We go to us men of God, we get in our closets. Now be honest, men of God. We get in our closets. We agonize and we pray and we seek the face of God for the message for God's people. And they come to church on Sunday morning. Some of them setting up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I've had some of them rip the hide because I believe that we are to give total attention to the Holy Spirit of God on Sunday morning. Listen to the man of God. God give you a man to stand in the gap and to give you what's best for your life and your family's life and the church life. But you know what? Very simple scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. Praise be to God this morning. I believe that. I've seen it happen. I've seen God. We went in a hospital room, me and 5 more men. A lady in our church, the doctors had done said she's going to die. And all the kids around, I asked one of the daughters, I said, would you give me and these men just a place around our sister's bed? And all of us men got on our knees and we prayed, not our will, but God, that be God's will be done. And we asked God, if it be his perfect will, that God might touch her body and raise her up. God heard that prayer, and God answered that prayer. Give that precious lady 7 more years and live to be 83 years of age. A lot of these young people today don't know nothing about prayer because mom and daddy don't set the example. Why should young people want to go to church? Brother Richardson, you know that I used to pastor, I used to be a basketball coach and never coached nothing but Christian schools for 27 years of my life. And one of the churches that I believe, well, y'all came many a time to Central Baptist Church, 18 young men, Brother Taylor, Brother Gene, Brother Barry, that came out of that church in those chapel service, 18 of them, Brother Richardson, so-called surrender to preach. And out of the 18, only two today are preaching the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And some of those young preacher boys, some of them been married 3 and 4 times. And what in the world is wrong? Brother Gene, I might not have thought about it then, Brother Richardson, but I see it so clearly today as I get older today. After 44 years preaching the Word of God, I'm seeing more clearly today. I've asked God, let me live, be 90 years of age. Keep me in my right mind. Because you know why? God's still looking for somebody that ain't ashamed to stand for the riches of God's precious Word. But I see clearly now, Brother Nofsinger, the parents didn't have Jesus at their interest of their heart. And when you don't have Jesus' interest of heart, it can happen to a man of God. We can lose the fervor and the fire. If anybody are to be setting the example today, men of God are to be setting the example. I heard Tom Malone, I heard him preach several times. And I heard Tom Malone many years ago says, it still stands what God can do for the man that'll get in a closet somewhere and strip himself of his self-righteousness. God's people got too much pride today, stubborn spirits today, and we wonder why. I tell him, Brother Benny said last night, they had just talked about it before I came in the door. I know of 5 independent Baptist churches right now, Brother Barry. They don't have church on Wednesday night. They don't have it on Sunday night, Brother Richardson, no more. They've closed the doors down. And you know what? I heard one pastor say, the reason why we closed her down is because we don't have but a handful of people come to church in the service. I believe where 2 or 3 are gathered in God's name. But I believe that pastor's either got older in life and he had a bad car wreck. If he can't carry the mantle for God, he ought to step aside so where some young whippersnapper filled with the Holy Ghost of God can get up and rightly divide the Word of God. But a church that loses its vision, a church is a body of baptized believers that's been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a church is. It ain't the building. We're just in a building. All of us are assembled in the presence of a holy God in this hour. But I ask you the question, have you lost sight of the fields that are white unto harvest? I can say to you, we have, if our hearts not prepared day by day for the work of God that's God. You can be a witness at work. You can be a witness in a grocery store. You can be a witness at a filling station. You can be a witness at a funeral home. Great opportunity there. A lot of people don't even go to church. You'll see them one time or 3 or 4 times during the year, maybe in a few years, in the funeral chapels, they call them now. They used to be funeral homes when I was a kid, but now they're chapels. I have a son that's a mortician, but he's also a youth pastor. And he tells me, Daddy, the devil's tried to take everything sacred away because the devil knows his time is limited. Amen. But I ask you the question, the focus today is that Brother Richardson can get up here and he can call on other men of God to preach. if God's people will take what Brother Benny presented last night and what God's trying to set the line this morning, I believe God's got a providential line for you and I. And I believe if we in here, there's enough in here this morning, if we'd only do what the will of God is for our life this very morning. And like Brother Benny last night, some don't like it, but I'm on your side. I love every once in a while, I love competition. I always have in my lifetime. And I don't like to get in the flesh in the pulpit, Brother Knopf Singer, but I did rejoice. And don't throw a book at me, and I'll just leave it at that. I was glad last night the St. Louis Cardinals won, and I was thankful last night the Washington Nationals won last night, beat the Los Angeles Dodgers. If you're from Los Angeles, don't get mad at me. When I was a little boy, I saw probably two of the best pitchers that I ever saw in my lifetime pitch, and was Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale about years ago when I was a boy growing up, and I'll leave it at that. But I believe what you said last night, brother, the emphasis today is not on the spiritual truths of God's Word. We're living in our, and listen, us preachers that our heart is right, you evangelists that are right, and I'll get there in just a minute, but I believe in my heart, with all of my heart this morning, sincere before you, in the Spirit of the Lord this morning, I believe there's a great lack today. And it's going to start not with a lost world. When God's people get this thing, we got it settled about salvation. We're going to heaven because our sins have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about our servitude, our service for the King of all kings? The fields are white, Mr. J., but the laborers are few. Why are they few? I'll tell you why. I want you to look with me in Ecclesiastes. Everybody go Ecclesiastes with me. Chapter 10. You say, preacher, this don't, I'm staying in the Spirit of the Lord, Brother Richardson. The people might say, well, I've heard this so much, or maybe it really don't have an impact. It does have an impact. God's will this morning is that we worship Him in spirit and truth. You want me to tell you what's happening? Look in Ecclesiastes with me. I believe this has happened, dear men of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Look with me at verse 18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. I believe because of our lack because we know better, our lack of meeting our responsibility as a child of God. I know I've had some people of the 40 years that I've been at New Testament. Some have walked away. I was telling Brother Hatfield or Brother Barry, I had 24, Brother Richardson, walk out one night because I had to take and deal with an issue with my song leader's son that was shacking up with a woman. And those people that I had pastored, conducted memorial service, not funeral services. We all preach in our funeral service while we live, but it's a memorial service. And those people put blood before the preaching of the Word of God. There's premium on the preaching of the Word of God. And you know what? It hit us hard. And we, my people, saying to me, what are we going to do? I said, it's time that we get in the woodshed with God and bend our knees and seek His face. I heard Don Green, I went to his 50th anniversary there in Lansing, Michigan. Billy Gooseby faithfully preached that service that day. And we all went to a prayer room because Don Green, whatever you might think, he's an older man now in a wheelchair now, a man that had the power of God upon his life. And he said, it's time for us to have a prayer meeting. We had lunch, and he said, before the evening service, Brother Gooseby will preach, we're going to the prayer room. We went in a prayer room, about 70 men that afternoon. What a prayer meeting. And he said, I'm going to give all you men of God a little booklet, how to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. A lot of you people don't know it, but Don Green one day got in a room by himself. He turned out the lights. He took his shoes off. Moses took his off when he stood in the presence of a holy God. And Don Green said on his face before a holy God, he said, you have today the opportunity to take a knife and split me open and go in the caverns of my heart and pluck out and pull out all filth. Pull out anything that would hinder the flow of the Holy Ghost of the anointing of God upon my life. You ever read about Dwight Moody? Dwight Moody preached, people got saved. But those two ladies shook hands with him and said, Brother Moody, we pray in the fullness of the power of God to rest upon you. He said, I have that power. They said, oh, we're praying for you. And they said the power of God came on him. He had to get in a room, Brother Knopf Singer. He couldn't stand the move of God on his life. There's people sitting today, don't even know what you're talking about today. I got people, Brother Richards, they don't know nothing about it, or they don't want to know nothing about it. But the building's decaying. And I know the devil likes Brother Gene to take this and throw it over your back and say it's the one behind you. But it's me, Lord, that stands in need of you today. So I ask you the question this morning. I'm trying to finish here. I ask you the question. Why are the fields white unto harvest? You don't have to have a college education. Just let God educate you. Amen. Moses was somebody in Egypt. But God sent him to be nobody. Yeah. Then God took a nobody and made somebody 40 years, the last 40 years of his life. I ask you the question this afternoon or this morning. What can God make of you? What does God want to make of you? I'll tell you what. He wants you to root it into somebody else's life. Amen. You know what? Paul rooted into Timothy's life the truth of God's word. What are you rooting in somebody else's life? Where is your compassion? Where is your fear for a living God? I'm not afraid God's going to not let me go to heaven. That's all been took care of. I'm not afraid God's going to take a sledgehammer to me. You know why? I desire Him. Coming down that road behind Barry this morning here, my prayer was, you anoint those men of God today. You use them because somebody stands in need of a refuge for his soul. Amen. Or she. Somebody needs today, their life needs to be touched. I've heard those men of God, Brother Knopf Singer. I went many miles to hear those men of God. I drove all the way from Benton, Kentucky to Columbus, Ohio. Men and a man in the church that drove me all the way there to hear a preacher preach. And you know what he done? He said, today, there might be some, he didn't know me from Adam. He still didn't know who he was when he died.
He said, there's probably a preacher here from Kentucky today. How in the world? He said, Kentucky. And he wasn't from Kentucky. He's an Indiana boy. Or Texas boy to Indiana. And he said, there's some young preacher here probably today. Some preacher here today. You've been preaching a while. Maybe it's you. I say this to you. He's gone, but he still speaketh. He said, how many times you wrote your resignation out? He said, how many times you've wondered, Brother Richardson, I wonder how many times you wondered. I'm speaking to me, Brother Richardson. How many times when you was at New Testament, you wanted to walk away? You know what he said? God, whether you pastor 2 or 3 people, you pastor 100 people, pastor 50 people, when you stand before a holy God, Brother Gene, you're not going to answer to God, you evangelist. Your work is to do, and I'm for you. I feel sorry for people that missed out. I believe God called evangelists, and I believe they ought to be used. I heard what Percy Ray said. Percy Ray said, when he and y'all, any of you ever knew Dr. Ray, Dr. Ray goes somewhere and hold a meeting. Most time he wants to stay 2 weeks. Churches can't stand that today, Brother Richardson. You know why? They don't want even want 3 days. I know a church in North Carolina, they got a godly man of God. But you know what? 2 days is all they want, Brother Knopfsinger. And I'm going to tell you one thing. People can drive 100, 200, 300 miles. I wonder how many drove all the way to the playoffs and Major League Baseball and how they go here and there to these concerts and everything else, but they can't drive 10 miles every night to turn that dirty, filthy television off and go to the house of the living God. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, we need more instruction than we want to admit today. But you know what? I believe this all in my heart. That preacher said to me yonder in Ohio, that was from Indiana, made this statement. He said, you're not going to be judged someday at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're not going to stand there and give an account to how many people you pastored. You're going to give an account to God, men of God, just like me, how we took the Word of God in our hand and gave to those that were there. Because there's some little boy, Brother Richardson, just think about it. Brother Downs can't speak. Brother Downs in glory. But you know what? The vision they've had. Brother Downs did have a vision. He preached for me several times. I never heard him not preach about the gospel. I never heard him preach without preaching about a separated life. We talked about it. We eat together and we talked about it. Brother Richardson's been a dear friend of mine for years now. Amen. And I respected him. There was 2 pastors before me. They set the boundaries, the line for me before I went to New Testament Baptist Church. But you know what? It's been said to me, you're going to answer to God for doing your best. But I'll be honest with you this morning. My best comes short, Brother Gene. But you know what? The older I get, I've got 9 grandchildren. I got 4 children. My heart was broke. My baby daughter, she's 36 years of age now, and she married a boy that I told her not to marry. But she said, Dad, I love him. They had a little girl. I got a precious little granddaughter. But she's got, ever since she's 4 months old, I helped take care of her. She's 14 now. She won't give Grandpa the time of day. Because you know why? You know why, Brother Richardson? Going to public schools and the schools there with the music, how they've turned it into a place like it was when Moses came off the mountain as the children wanted to play. But the heartbreak came to me, a boy that I didn't want her to marry. But she said, Daddy, I'm going to try. You taught me right. And one day, after 4 years of marriage, he walked off and left her for another man. He lives in Nashville, Tennessee today. He's been married twice to 2 different men. And me and him had words about, he said that God made him that way. I said, that's a lifestyle you chose. I told a preacher that today, and he thought there's something wrong with me. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When our heart's prepared on God, and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we'll think like Jesus.
Amen.
He tells us to set our mind on heavenly things. But you know what? Don Green told all of us preachers in that room, you thought, I forgot, I've got old timers, huh? Not yet. But you know what? Don Green says he asked God to rip his heart apart. You know what? Somewhere in our hearts today, come on, men, be honest. God respects honesty. What I'm saying to you, the Holy Ghost eats me up to stay right. But I want to. I want, Brother Benny, I want that touch of God upon my life. I have a heavy responsibility, 27 people. That's all I have left. Many as 90 there. About 20 of them's passed away. We go out and knock on doors every week. Some may come for two or three times. Separation of the Word of God drives them away by the devil. But Don Green says, you'll never be successful as a child of God until what? Until you learn from somebody that's walked before you that God made them a success in the ways of God. So, Brother Larry, what can I gather from this today? The fields are white unto harvest. The labors are few. Why? Why? No preparation of heart. Folks, we're only kidding ourselves. I believe this, and I say this in behalf of you evangelists. Brother Benny's preached for me years, and he don't think I remember. He thinks I probably got old-timers to a part. He preached 5 or 6 years in a row for me, watch night services. Held 2 or 3 meetings for us down through the years. And one time, the last time he came, and he preached on watch night, he said, Brother Larry, would you just give me a break 1 year and let me go to help an old-time preacher? I don't remember his name, brother. I said, yes, sirree. But you know what? I say this to us today. God called these men. We are to use them. I will say this, Brother Barry, your dad's gone. I hope to get to come Saturday, but I may not. I never know from one day to day as a pastor what you've got to come up with. You say you shouldn't have come up with much with 27 people. Let me tell you something. I've got some people, a 95-year-old man that Brother Richardson knows well, 95 years old, can't walk no more. Take him to the doctor. They have no children. Their brothers and sisters are all dead. They don't have anybody. She's 87 years old and come down with dementia. That's why he was partly... He got a little heavier when he went to New Testament because that lady did something for him. She rooted something from him to me. Those pies late at night, Brother Richardson. Man, she could cook. But you know what? I've got others in the church that I take to the VA doctors. Why would you go, preacher? You're supposed to pray and study. I take the time. If I had to turn the light on at midnight. Because you know why? When I was a boy in Bible school, some of them said they got saved in Bible school. I remember all those that got saved in Bible school when I was a boy growing up in my home church. But you know what? We sung that song, Joy, Jesus, others, and then you. But you know what it is now, men of God? It's you, maybe others later down the line.
Yeah.
Serious of the hour, can you honestly say as I close, the fields are white unto harvest. Jesus came on a mission. Did he not? Come on now, talk to me. Did he not come on a mission? Our tears, Brother Taylor, our tears, ducts have dried up. Our knees don't bend. We are allowing arthritis and all them bursitis, brothers, to get us where we can't bend our knees today, because when we had the opportunity, we wouldn't. But still Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So, who will go for me? I don't care if you're the only one. I have a preacher friend that was going to town one day from where he lived. And there was a lady packing a little baby going to town in the pouring down, I'm talking about pouring down rain. He says he guarded his testimony, but he said he went by that lady and that little baby, and the Holy Ghost of God said, turn around. He turned around and went back and said, dear lady, you and the baby can get in the back seat. Tell me where you want me to take you, and I will. And did you know there were preachers that tried to destroy his name? And some preachers went to that woman, and they asked her. And she said he was the kindest man. But you know what? They never would forget it. What can you expect of people? How can we win a lost and dying world in our Jerusalem? Did you know what? Brother Richardson was talking about a lady passed away. You know what happened? She ended her season. You have a season that God's granted you. What are you going to do with it? If you're the only one, Brother Richardson, if you're the only one, if I'm the only one a few miles from you down there in Benton, Kentucky, I thought I heard somebody say bandana last night in here. Did anybody hear that? Or if I, somebody was got saved at Bandana, Kentucky. That's down our Monkey's Eyebrow. I mean, there ain't no town in, no store in that town. Held many meetings in that town for a pastor there. My dad pastored that little church down there at Needmore, down there in the wilderness. But I'll tell you what. My dad had a second grade education, 15 kids. Their daddy made them quit going to school in the second grade, get out in the field to work like a dog, while he would go across the bridge in Illinois from Kentucky, get him a bottle and run, chase a woman. But you know what? God brought an old-time preacher to my home church. And he preached the Word of God, filled with the Holy Ghost of God, brother. Went out to my grandpa's house, a cold, hard, drunken sinner, and told him about the saving grace of God. I helped my grandfather, 84 years old, get in the baptistry after he got saved, born of the Spirit of God. And you know what he said to me after we went back for him to change clothes? He said, Larry, you're my grandson, but you'll outlive me, but I can't change my life of past. But as long as I have breath, I'm going to try to be a written epistle of men. My grandfather lived 2 more years, and he led some people to God with no education. But you know what he gave them? What Brother Benny talked about last night. He gave them what was rooted to him, the saving grace. Fields are white. Yes, labors are few, Matthew 9. But you know what? Will you be the one? Somebody in this church can be the one. Somebody can make the difference. But where is it going to start? At an old-fashioned altar? In a closet in the bathroom somewhere? Locked the door? I did one time at Western Baptist. My son in an auction tent, Jason. Doctor said he's going to die. I went in there and shut that door and turned that light out in the bathroom, turned the lid back and made an altar. And I said, God, if you will, would you let him live? The next morning, Dr. Stryker unzipped the auction tent. And my son now is 41 years of age and a youth pastor. Somebody can make the difference. Would it be you? Heavenly Father, I've tried to mind you. I've tried not to be a drudge or somebody to cause someone to go to sleep. I'm just asking you, dear Lord, to take the Word of God and allow it to find the lodging it needs to find in their heart. Thank you for last night. Continue it today. Put some men on fire today that we can look upon them and see the glow of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brother Richardson.